and what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Wind Up Podcast. I am your host, Mike of MTGA Wines, and we got Napa County drama all over again. It never surprises me how like anti-wine business this valley has become from like a political side of things. There have been two just amazing articles that have come out since the end of March, and we're going to try and dive into the both of them into the best of our ability. Plus a little bit of just like honest conversation about some of our family projects and like how, what they've had to deal with to kind of give you hopefully some like real insight into what we're fucking working with here. Like it's, I am fired up about it. We're going to get into it. Let's do this. Thank you all so much for tuning in, especially last week while we were kind of on the road. I'm going to be on the road doing another episode in a hotel room next week. I know the sound is a little wonky because I'm doing it through like my Bluetooth headset. I got to deal with like hotel rooms and like background noise. I hope you all still enjoy those. I know it's a little wonky, but I'm trying to kind of keep the content kind of coming your way. Speaking of which, when you get those updates and new episodes, I mean, please subscribe to the show, rate and review it wherever you're collecting your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're consuming the show, really helps us in kind of the ratings and reviews and the rankings of everything. Be sure to check us out at mtgawines.com. You can find out a little bit more about us. You can also scroll down on the homepage there, find a little email form to submit questions and kind of pitch topics to the show. Many of you know who have been listening for a while, I love this to be as interactive as possible. So feel free to chime in and have at it or slide into our DMs on any of our social networks at MTGA Wines. We're most active on YouTube, where you can catch the video version of this these episodes. You can check out us on Instagram. We're also on the Book of Face and the social network formerly known as Twitter, but a little less active on those. One last announcement before we get into it. We are officially in spring wine release kind of season. Many of you who are in our wine club, we're sending out those shipment updates and everything basically as I speak. So be sure to keep an eye on your email inbox. If you need more information on that, check that. Head to our website. You can find out more information on our wine club. So the new releases that we have coming out. For those of you that are on our mailing list, maybe not in our club, we'll be sending out an update next week and getting some more wines and kind of stuff out and about, including the new Chenin Blanc from the HBIC herself. If you know, you know. Head to BlairPaytonWines.com. You can check that out there. All right, let's get into it, shall we? Over the last 2 weeks, well, maybe even 3 weeks, probably since like the end of March, let's say. Regardless, there have been a couple of just outstanding articles, both in like the Press Democrat or Napa Valley Register, also from the amazingly talented Jess Lander at the San Francisco Chronicle, regarding wineries here in the valley, permit violations, the Napa County, what's happening in and around this scene, and what wineries are contending with just to operate and sell our wine in what is a tough economy for the alcohol industry in general. Wineries are down, business is down, tourism is down, people are trying to figure out which way is up. You know, we have a world in which, you know, things are economically just volatile in general. We're not sure, you know, from a supply side of things, you know, with our supply chains and goods that we need for bottling our wine, like corks, foils, glass, all this other stuff, how tariffs are going to impact those. We've been dealing with having to rebudget and do kinds of all kinds of things with French oak. We're not able to buy nearly as many barrels this year as we typically would just because of the increased expense of things. Like, that's a crazy time. It's a crazy time. Yet there are things that just take the cake. All of that stuff that, you know, it's volatile now. I am maybe optimistic to a fault that it's going to sort itself out. One way or the other, it's going to sort itself out. People are going to adapt and overcome and figure out like the supply chain stuff. Because that's what we did in 2021 and 22 during the supply chain crisis. Like things will figure it out. We'll get there. But this stuff we're getting in today is just absolutely insane and is very reminiscent of the era where Camus was busted for making way too much wine and got fined by Napa County, which created kind of the witch hunt of the county and the board of supervisors and everybody to start coming after wineries and cracking down on what was being done kind of outside their purview. Now, to give you just a tiny bit of background, if you're new to the show and not really familiar with what I'm talking about, or even if you've been listening for a while and just need a little refresher. Back in 1990, there was a winery definition ordinance, the WDO, that was put into place in Napa County. If you want to look it up and check out what it has to say, please feel free. It's just a bunch of legal jargon and political jargon to kind of define what a winery actually is, what the operations actually are, and what people can or cannot do over the course of like business. It's one of the reasons why, and this is what affects like Brittany in particular, the HBIC herself, and many wineries in terms of like events. Technically speaking, there's like three or four wineries here in Napa that you can actually like host a wedding at. And people kind of have like the I want to get married in Napa like dream. I'm like, guess what? There's like three places you can do it. Because one of those doesn't do them because they don't want to deal with the hassle. Like you have Visa Tui, you have Behringer, I think, and Charles Krug. Technically, Domaine Chandon can do them, but they just don't, right? And that's all because of this WDO, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It also defines, like, for any new wineries that were created post-1990, that they all have to be by appointment, technically. Like, you can't just have an open-to-the-public winery. And on top of that, you can only see, like, X amount of people per day based on your permit. So not only are you by appointment, but there's, like, a limit to how many guests you can actually see. So it's stuff like that. It's a lot of rules and regulation. It's obviously a 35-year-old piece of legislation that has simply not grown with the times. It is in need, dire need, of updating. Those of you that may remember, we've had some episodes talking about Hoops Vineyard, Lindsay Hoops, and the legal battle with Napa County that unfortunately she ultimately lost. The judge ruled in the county's favor. Quite literally, the county was upset that she put up string lights and had an Airstream trailer and like farm animals on her property. That was quite literally like the impetus for them shutting her down. Really sucks. Feel free to look that up as well if you feel like it. But over the last couple weeks, it got even more interesting. Now, I'm going to rattle off a few additional stats here because this is coming from one of, you know, our, call it a tourist trap, if you want, the Castillo de Amorosa, the castle that Dario Satui, you build a castle, you can change your name as it turns out, Dario Satui built. It also actually kind of, you know, one of these other issues, you know, you have someone like Dalla Valle Vineyards, one of the kind of amazing culty wineries here. That are getting involved in some of this stuff. You have more and more kind of this adversarial relationship that's just building up here because the county is on the warpath. Because there have been some gross violations, Camus being one of them, producing like obviously well more than what their permit allows. And let's be clear here, like it's the alcohol industry. It's a controlled substance. Like it needs to be regulated in some way, shape, or form. But at a certain point, you're inhibiting small family businesses, as well as even large businesses, from doing the things that are frankly required of us to just operate on like a day-to-day basis, to pay the bills. There is an overwhelming majority of revenue that comes in because of tourism, because of wineries, and all of the ancillary, you know, professions that are needed to run the wine business and the hospitality business here in this county. And for some reason, you know, the commissioners here and officials just don't seem to understand how much their bread is buttered by us. And they continue to kind of fight and scratch and claw at us under the guise of trying to ensure that we can work together. Here's what I mean by that. You know, over the years, and this happened relatively recently, and these are some stats from some of these articles that I'm stating, so you can look up Jess Lander's article at the San Francisco Chronicle. You can also go and look up the Press Democrat to talk about the castle that we're going to get into here in a second. So you can fact check all this if you want. But just so you're aware, these are the stats. About 75% of Napa Valley wineries cannot see more than 25 people in a given day. Right? That's what their permits say. They are not allowed to host that many people. About 47%, almost half, can see 10 or fewer. And this is all from the executive director of the Napa Valley, of the wine growers of Napa County, and the board of supervisors meeting that happened. So there are a lot of wineries out there that just simply cannot see that many people. So, you know, realistically, when you're talking about like maybe anywhere from like 3 to 5 vehicles driving on a road in a given day, if it's like the busiest day they can, quote, have, right? Now, as some of these permits are being placed, you know, some of them are really old, going back to like pre-WDO. Some people are trying to upgrade what they can do or be in compliance. And the county did this. They said, hey, come to us. And it was, in essence, kind of like this amnesty program. They said, hey, no harm, no foul. If you're breaking the rules, we'll try and work with you to find a middle ground or update your permits accordingly. Instead, what the county did was, in essence, use this as a hit list to go after certain people and say, oh, if you want these upgrades, you're going to have to pay tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of improvements that we deem necessary for you to, quote, operate in this way. Or we're going to say, hey, you're clearly out of compliance now, and because we're aware of it, we'll start acting accordingly. It's been a complete shit show. And it was done in a way that is just a complete mess. And they say that they've started to create kind of like this small, like, micro winery permit. You know, the average cost of a permit, by the way, if you're just going to like get a winery like started, is like $22,000. Like, not nothing, but not a crazy amount, I suppose. But that's still a lot. I'm like, $22,000. I'd take $22,000 tomorrow if you had it on you, for sure. Plus the building out of the winery, plus, you know, all of the construction costs, other permitting, things of that nature. Like, it's super expensive, and it compounds more and more and more and more, because the county, frankly, keeps moving the target. Like, they don't have, and this is why there have been lawsuits now, is that the county has basically gone way, they've overreached so much that they've changed people's permits without even just letting them know. There's been no due diligence, there's been no updates, there's been no contact, and you've seen people's permits get changed arbitrarily without them even knowing about it. You know, you can look at what happened with Stu Smith and Smith Madrone and some of their stuff that they're dealing with up on Spring Mountain, if you want to dive a little bit more into that. But you see like kind of the small winery side of it. And this is why I love that these two articles like kind of coincided. And there's a whole nother part of this, which is like trade visitation, which are like restaurateurs, distributors, and salespeople that come out that are, sure, visiting the winery, but they're there to, as like these brand ambassadors for us. And they have been for decades. Like, this is just the way business has been done forever. And that, yes, they come out to see the property, get to know the people, and we get to shake hands with them and understand who's like representing our wine across the country. And now the county is stating like, oh, no, these count towards like your actual like visitation numbers. So technically, in like the case of Dalavalle, I believe, you know, they're not allowed to see guests, like, period. Like, they don't have that written into their permit. But they, you know, they want to host people from the trade, maybe even consumers down the road. So they've been trying to go through the process of updating all this. And that's what the article states. And they've been trying to figure that out for the last 6 years, since like this 2019 amnesty program that I mentioned. They're like, hey, we're trying to do the right thing. Let us make sure that we're working with you and we're all in compliance and, you know, teamwork make the dream work. But they've been hitting like one roadblock after another. And there have been a bunch of people in the trade, including folks like Jean-Charles Boisset, Andy Erickson, the Dalavalles, of course, and others that are like, no, like, how are we supposed to sell our wine if we can't even get in front of people? Like, times have changed. There's an expectation of people to get to know these brands, these wines, the people and faces behind them. You can't tell us, hey, just go out to your cave, make wine, and hopefully people place orders from the ether. Like, that's kind of where this is being pushed. And it's the ignorance of like how these businesses need to run in this day and age now, 35 years past when some of these ordinances, you know, were put into place and some of these permits were actually applied for. And the problem is that it's so convoluted, is that you can actually go through like all the approval process. You can pay all this money for improvements. You can do all of this stuff. And then you finally get to the finish line. The county can still come back to you and say, no, sorry. For no reason at all. You followed all the rules. You've done everything right. And they will still come back to you and say, yeah, sorry, we're not going to do this. However, you have situations like the next one that we're going to get into with the castle. Based on the article from the Press Democrat, the castle, the Castillo de Amorosa, north of St. Helena towards Calistoga, saw roughly 400,000 people in 2019. Here's the best part. You know how many people they're allowed to see based on their permit? 25,000. Let's do some quick math, shall we? I love math. Let's do it. Let's do this. What is 400,000 divided by 25,000? Oh, you're talking about a 16 times what they were supposed to be doing in terms of visitation. And let's look at the details here. They are allowing it after years of permit violations, quote, and safety concerns. County officials Wednesday approved a sweeping plan to bring the castle's operations into legal compliance. The decision allows the winery to continue operating at its massive scale with hundreds of thousands of annual visitors as long as it agrees to new conditions around water use, fire safety, and building occupancy. The fix comes through a county program that allows wineries to apply for retroactive permit changes. This is that amnesty program that we're talking about, when they've quietly outgrown the original approval. So that's, again, kind of what we're going back to. As businesses have expanded and we've tried to, you know, adapt to what the new reality is for the Valley, that's why this amnesty program was created, was for situations as this. Now, obviously, this is a gross example, but here we are. Quote again, for Castillo de Amorosa owner vintner Dario Satui, it's still so funny that he changed his name after he built the castle. It's just kind of hilarious. That meant asking the county to sign off on more guests, more staff, more events, and permission to use a part of the castle previously limited to production. The winery will also be able to expand its parking lot as well as drill a new well, which no one might actually know this unless you're industry. There's been a moratorium over drilling new wells in Napa County for like a while, but they're getting a pass, so cool, take that for what it is. Once permits are issued, another 15,000 square feet of the castle's winding interior can be converted to host guests. And it goes on to say that not everything's a green light, that troubles kind of began back in 2018 when there was a routine inspection, that, you know, the winery was using parts of the winery for guests when it shouldn't have been, so on and so forth. You can go and read the full article if you want. But this is the crazy stuff. And this goes back to the Camus example I gave as well, where they were making just so much more wine than what their permit, you know, allowed them to, which is why they built a whole nother big ass state-of-the-art winery in Sassoon Valley outside of Napa County, is because they needed to get out of here so they could actually do it without having to pay like one fine after another, after another, after another. So this is kind of the thing. And this is what really grinds my gears, is that you're going to take someone like Dario Satui and the castle and doing 16 times. And I guarantee you, I mean, do we think that that's the limit of their infractions? Probably not if it was this much. Like, let's just be real here. That doesn't pass the smell check. There's probably a lot more going on that probably shouldn't have been, but the business has been so successful and it's blown up so much that they're like, we're not going to stop. It's going to be cheaper for us to deal with this and ask for forgiveness down the road than it is to try and go through what are the normal approval processes. This is exactly what this Camus situation went through, is that it was cheaper to pay the fines than it was to try and get the approvals. Like, you're just going to make way more money. And this is part of the issue, is that the regulations and the hoops that we have to jump through as an industry just to operate and survive and thrive as businesses are such a shit show that it's cheaper to do stuff like this and go well past any of the rules and regulations and figure it out as we go. Like, that's where we're at. And if that doesn't tell you that something on the government and regulation side needs to change, I don't know what will. Because this is going to be something that continues to happen. And this is like a big situation. You know, almost 500,000 people coming through this property, right? When you're allowed to have 25,000, like, what are we talking about here? How, like, you're going to let this slide and let them update things, but you're going to get pissed about the small Colt winery up in Oakville that wants to host trade people every once in a while? What are we talking about here? What is happening? This is the insanity of the anti-winery kind of movement within Napa County. It blows my mind that you don't see some level of hypocrisy in this. It makes zero sense. Where we go from here is, I mean, who knows? You know, there are a lot of us on the small side of things that are going to continue fighting the good fight. There's already a push for a federal case against Napa County because of their overreach. We'll see how that shakes out. They've picked a fight with a lot of people, and they are continuing to do so in ways that is severely impacting people's lives and livelihoods. This kind of goes back to last week's episode, and I know it was a little annoying doing it in the hotel room, but talking about like the bridge and like the spotted owl that people were looking for during the daytime, because owls are certainly not nocturnal, so it makes sense that you have, you know, county hired officials out there surveying things looking for this endangered owl during the day. Sure, makes sense. But this just compounds on that so much, and you're like, guys, like, do you really think we're this dumb that we're not going to see these two issues published back to back and be like, it's like the Spider-Man meme. It's all the Spider-Men like pointing at each other like, wait, what's happening here? What's actually happening here? It's just like, it's hilarious. Like, I don't even know what to do about this, or like even what to say. Like, it's so crazy. Like, you can't make stuff like this up. It's like, oh, you wanted to update your permit because you want to do the right thing and you want to host people every once in a while. You know, that's no good. You really shouldn't. I don't think we can approve that. You know, you're clearly out of compliance. You can host no visitors at all. This is just the way it is. Sorry. Bye. Pack your bags. Bye. Oh, you're seeing almost 500,000 people. That's like 16 times like what your permit says. That's fine. We'll approve that and let you redo that so you can just operate, you know, with reckless abandon. And yeah, we'll probably slap you on the wrist. You're gonna have to pay for some things, but now that's fine. Just go ahead. Oh, by the way, that new well you need, that we have a moratorium on digging new wells. That's fine. Ignore that. Ignore that little thing. We're just gonna let you do that too. It's okay. Oh, there's another 1,500,000 square feet or whatever of space yet you want to use that we weren't going to let you use before. Yeah, go ahead and use that too. Not worried about it. That's fine. It's insane. The double standard is just absolutely crazy. I would love to know how much money Dario had to dump into the county coffers for this. This is the same thing that happened to, and this I might be speaking out of pocket, but I'll say it anyway, the same thing that Mike Davis did with Davis Estates up on the Silverado Trail. One of the big issues that what prevented him from like permitting and some of the stuff he wanted to do up there was they needed a turn lane. The county was like, hey, you're going to have to put in a turn lane here. In fact, there are other wineries on the Silverado Trail that are going through the same thing right now. They're going to the county saying, hey, we're looking for some of these updates through this amnesty program or otherwise. And like, oh, well, you got to redo the road. And like, well, it's not our road. Like, we're not talking about the road. We're talking about like the winery facility and like what we're doing here. But they're like, nope, that's fine. You're gonna have to spend 250, maybe 500K to put it, to redo the road and put in, widen it, you know, put in this turn lane. And then we might allow you to do what you want to do. Mike Davis has done pretty well for himself. He paid the bill. They put in the turn lane and he got what he wanted from there. It's almost like, and I love Jean Charles, and I mentioned him earlier. I'm very curious what he had to do and what they had to pay to get that entrance on Highway 29 built. I mean, they had to buy a lot of property to connect it to the back of Raymond Vineyards where they're located there. But I would love to know what the price tag of that was. I could probably find out, actually. I know some people. Oh, my gosh. It's just, it's not this hard, right? I think that this is why it frustrates me more than anything else, is that conducting business and trying to, you know, make some money and create life and livelihoods for other people and employees and things, and do what you need to do to survive as a business, doesn't need to be this hard. It doesn't need to be this hard. It's why I still, like, even when you look to, like, apply for permits to ship wine to other states, like, for me, like, there's a part of me, like, in my core that says, like, I'm pretty sure that's an interference in interstate commerce, because technically you're asking for permit, and oh, by the way, we're having to pay taxes on that wine as well, and we have no control of those taxes, so that's taxation without representation. Do I need to go, like, all 1776 on your ass? Do I need to throw some tea into a harbor? Like, why is this so complicated? And again, I understand, you know, with the repeal of prohibition, you know, states were allowed to regulate alcohol as they see fit. Cities and locales are able to do the same thing. I mean, hell, there's still dry counties in this country, for God's sake. Like, okay. Fine. But when it really starts to impact lives and livelihood of people in a negative way, and it becomes such a burden that these businesses cannot operate in a reasonable manner within the confines of their permit or the laws that are in place, the system is broken. It's that simple. The system is broken and it needs to be fixed. I'm not saying we need to blow it up. It just needs to be tuned up so it runs better. You know, I'm not going to go all anarchy on this as if we should operate, like, unabashedly here and just, hey, everybody just break the rules until they concede. No, let's try and find a middle ground here. You know, when you see these two articles come down the pipeline between, yes, go ahead, see hundreds of thousands more people than we originally allowed you to, that's fine. And then you see a small family winery go, we just want to see a few people a day. And they're saying no. It's like, what? Why? Like, where's the rationale for this? Like, there isn't one. There's not a single thing anybody at the county can currently say to me personally that's going to convince me that either of these two articles make any kind of sense when you put them next to one another and try to understand what's going on here. It is bonkers. And it's just not that hard. This is not that difficult. This wine industry, the restaurants, the businesses in our cities here, you know, from American Canyon all the way north to Calistoga, all of them have been built up and thrive around the wine, restaurant, and hospitality industry here. I'll admit, there are plenty of people in this valley that have nothing to do with the world of wine or restaurant or hospitality. There are plenty of other businesses outside of that. But every one of those that I just mentioned also have all these ancillary things, from tax professionals to compliance people to accountants, right? To construction workers, to landscaping, to all of these other avenues, to trucking, to storage and warehousing, like all of the other things that make this industry and this world of Napa Valley go round are intertwined in some way, shape, or form. And to be this adversarial and to be this just downright dumb makes no sense. Listen, this is just bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Ugh. So funny, like, even going back to, you know, later portions of that article about the castle, it goes back. Going forward, the winery must submit annual visitor reports for 6 years and host yearly inspections by fire and building officials. One of its wells is located just 100 feet from a nearby creek, and that will also be monitored to make sure water use stays sustainable. Commissioner Megan Dameron said the community support helps seal the deal. For me, What was most helpful is getting the public comment of its neighbors and understanding with the increased numbers it isn't impacting folks and there are no concerns. It does seem that overall, Mr. Satui has been a good neighbor. Well, that's good for him. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So, I'm curious, and I don't know the interpersonal relationships I knew the Dalivalis growing up. I've never met Lindsay Hoops and I've only heard anecdotal stuff about, what she had to go through with the recent legal battles on her property. But, this is where I wanted to kind of voice. There's a, one of the family labels. I'm going to avoid. You can figure it out. Okay. It's not the one where I make my wine, but I'm going to kind of omit some of it for a minute because this is what happened to, fuck it. It's my mom, my stepdad, So for those of you that are familiar with Trespass Vineyards, they had a neighbor. And this is what they had to go through is that they were, hosting a guest every once in a while on their vineyard property, which was not kosher. So they ended up having to change that. And there's one neighbor in particular that lives on the corner right there who's been an absolute pill about the whole thing. Would actually trespass and like take photos and like wander around and look through things. Like clearly was doing things like not great to the point where even city officials, I would ask my folks like, hey, do y'all have cameras up there? Because you never know what you'll see, if you happen to have some just on and pointed in a certain direction, like clearly insinuating, like there's no way that this individual got this information and saw this kind of stuff without actually trespassing and going through your shit. So, make sure that, you can catch him red-handed if you can. That neighbor was actually encroaching on their property with the use of their like garden. They had literally crossed the property line and were building like up against towards the vineyard. And that's when my mom, my stepdad took action against them and said, hey, like you're trying to like steal this. The property line's here. We have like this parcel. Like you need to stay on that side. Like they tried to be good about it. This individual and his wife decided to take the low road and they're very good at doing that apparently. But as a result, they lost basically any and all options to, do anything out there. Actually, it's really fun when we do like family and like personal gatherings out there because we know the city's going to get a call because this dude's going to fucking complain about it. And we're like, we should just hang out here more often, the noise ordinance, we got to shut off like amplified stuff by like 10 p.m. So we'll make sure we do that. So at like 9:59, we'll shut it down. But let's just go and hang out there every once in a while because we can. It's our property. We're not hosting anybody. We're not hosting events. There's none of that going on. We're playing by the rules. We're just enjoying, our property for what it is. But we decide not to. We try and play it nice, even though that guy's a jerk about the whole situation. But, they've actually looked into kind of the small micro winery thing, which theoretically allows, small wineries and grape growers to produce and sell wine on their farms. Like that's kind of the new trend. I don't remember when that went into effect. But in over the last 3 years, and it's stated in this article that only two of those permits have actually like been approved and the program is set to expire next month. So it's like, oh, got it. So that did nothing for anybody. Awesome. Very nice. I actually, to be fair, those two people that got those micro wineries approved are probably pretty happy about it, but clearly it was a program that did not work that well, because there are plenty of small farmers and small producers like my mom, my stepdad, that would love to take advantage of a program like that and be able to operate their business in a reasonable way without having a negative impact on their neighbors. Plain and simple. That's what they would want to do. But the program is so convoluted, the cost is so high, and the rules and regulations that they make you try and adhere to are just not feasible. Initially they stated, I think this is the situation, is that my folks would first have to build a home on there and then they could start to apply, which means they would also have to actually hook up the property to city water and sewer because it's not currently. They have a well. That's how they irrigate. That's how they do all these things. So they would have to pay for the expense of getting it all hooked up to city water and sewer on top of building the house. You'd also have to, if not, you'd have to put in a septic system, which now you'd have to tear out a good section of your vineyard to put in that septic system, because it is mostly vineyard on the property right now, except for the barn where they house like their, you know, tools and mower and all that stuff. So you got to do all that first. And then you got to try and start the winery application process or whatever the small micro winery permit process is. And that's if they'll even let you do it. But based on, you know, two wineries in 3 years, doesn't seem like a great track record based on the amount of time it takes and the expense of doing it. So, right. So it's like even when there are programs put into place to like, quote, try and help people out, like this amnesty program, it's clear it's not working. And this is the kind of stuff that just needs to change in our industry. It needs to change in this valley. But this is the stuff we're up against. This is what we deal with. This is why so many people are just crazy enough to be a part of this and try and fight the good fight to make the wines that some of you love to enjoy. This is the stuff that we're doing in the background that you never hear about, because this doesn't get airtime. Wineries don't typically talk about this, although a lot of us are being more and more vocal about some of these issues. Because our hope is that whether it's our neighbors or people from out of town that love this place so much, that they stay involved, that they continue supporting, you know, the wine businesses that they love to visit. I don't care if you love going to the castle. That's fine. Go have fun. I don't care if you love going to Camas. Fine. Have fun. Go do your thing. If you want to try to get up to Dolly Valley one day, hopefully the county will eventually allow them to do stuff like that. You know, if that's the case. I don't even know if they want to host guests at all outside of like the trade. But, you know, let's say that were the case. Let's hopefully you get to do that. I'm not saying they want to. Maybe they want to. You know, but hopefully that's stuff for like my mom, my stepdad, that comes back around and they're able to actually host guests again and do it in a way that's advantageous for everybody. You know, to make, you know, again, to go back to just like it's teamwork, make the dream work, people. This does not need to be this difficult. It does not need to be this adversarial. It's clear that there are certain people, there's a lot of loud negative Nancys, the kind of the loud minority making a lot of rah-rah racket to try and prevent some of this stuff from going on. But then you see things, again, like this castle issue where it's like, oh, no, he's a good neighbor. So let's go ahead and up, you know, let's increase his permit by 16 times. It's like, okay. Okay, he must be a great neighbor. He must be a great neighbor and donate to the county in big ways. All right, I think that's all we got for today's episode. This is the kind of stuff where it's just, I love diving into it because it is just so crazy. And it's just so bonkers that people actually look at stuff like this and like, oh, no, like that there are people out there, I should say, that look at these issues and be like, oh, no, that makes sense. Like, let's up his permit because that sounds fine. You know, and then this person who wants to host a couple people every now and again, no, fuck them. They're not allowed. Not allowed. It's crazy. All right. We're going to get into what's today. I think next week, while we're on the road, next Wednesday. Shoot, I'm going to be in good old St. Louis, Missouri next Wednesday. I'm going to be coming to you from the great state of Missouri next week. We're going to be diving into our Q&A episode. So be sure, slide into our DMs on our social networks at MTGA Wines, or head to our website, mtgawines.com, mtgawines.com. Man, even I can't say it sometimes. Scroll down on the homepage, find that little email form and submit any questions that you may have about anything when it comes to maybe some of these legal challenges, when it comes to wine, hospitality, how the growing season is going, what we're looking forward to. Happy to dive into anything and everything when it comes to our monthly Q&A session. Very excited to get back into it. For those of you in our wine club, please be sure to keep an eye out on your email inbox for tracking and shipping information as the shipments start to head out your way. For those of you that are interested, again, in a little bit more of what we do, please head to mtgawines.com or blairpaytonwines.com to check out what the HBIC is up to. I love you guys. All the support is amazing. Very excited for the new round of wines coming out this year. Take it easy. Have a great rest of your week. And yeah, we'll see you next time here on the Wind Up Podcast. Cheers.